Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Hello and welcome to episode 28 of Lesbians Who Write. And this week we are going to be talking about our favourite podcasts and why we love them. Joining me, Claire Lydon, is my co-host, the nonchalant, the nonplussed, and the just plain nice, T.B. Markinson. Hello today. Hello today, T.B. Hello, T.B. today. One of those. You pick.
I think, you know, we get to do whatever. But you seem nicer to me this week since you called me moronic last week.
Darn, you need to stop holding a grudge for so long. I just thought I'd do one week nasty, 1 week nice. I didn't call you nasty. That's good, right?
You've dealt with women before, right? I mean, we're kind of famous for holding a grudge.
As well as holding a grudge, TB's hair is also holding quite the shape today. She just ran her hand through her hair and that it just stayed where it was. Amazing. But that's not a great comment for a podcast, I know. No video link on this one. So, TB, tell me about your week. Tell me how it's been.
Okay, so, yeah, my week has been interesting so far. A lot of behind-the-scenes information going on. My first piece of big news is the New England chapter of the Romance Writers of America. They're looking for a new registration chair, and they reached out to me and said, you know, since I'm kind of an organized person, that they thought of me. And so I am going to be the new registration chair for the New England chapter of Romance of Writers of America. So I'm pretty excited about that, to be able to represent lesbian fiction in RWA.
Whoop, whoop. Yes, congratulations. And it's quite a mouthful, that, whatever it was that you just said, wasn't it?
I think I stumbled over it 100 times.
There's a lot of words there. So I'd you know, create some kind of acronym.
Well, they do. They have the acronym is NECRA, but if you don't actually know what I'm saying, then you're just like that face, the scrunchy face. Yep, you just get the scrunchy face from people who are like,
I don't think you should use that acronym. Come up with something else. It has very different connotations.
So the New England chapter of Romance Writers of America. Is that better? Did I get it right that time?
You did get it right. It's not better, but it's not right, but it's okay, as Whitney once said.
All right, so other news in my life. I've been proofing the audio version of A Conflicted Woman, book 4 in the Woman Law series. Proofing an audio book.
Sorry, I just dropped a pen.
A pen
attacked me. Carry on.
Proofing the audio version is, the narrator is doing a fantastic job, but it's just so painful to hear my words come back at me, and then I have to, like, and I'm like, oh, I could have changed that. Oh, this would have been a better way to phrase that. Oh, this, and this is so, and you can't do anything because it's audio version. You can't change it anymore. It's done. So it's one of those things as an author, I just don't enjoy it. What about you?
Well, I too this week have been audio proofing You're My Kind, which is coming out hopefully in September in audio. So we've both been sharing the same pain this week across the Atlantic. That's nice, isn't it? And yes, I agree. I think it is a difficult thing to do because even though on the one hand, I kind of do enjoy, you know, hearing the words come to life by the skilled narration, hearing it back and you just think, I wouldn't have said that now, and oh, I could have rephrased that and all that sort of thing. And it just actually goes to prove to me that I did go through a phase in my books where I used to sit down and read them aloud before I sent them to, you know, beta readers or my editor or whatever. And it really is useful because you really do pick up repeated words, repeated phrases, and just things, sentences that don't run. But I've stopped doing that now, mainly because it takes a hell of a long time. It's another part of the process that you have to put in. I did it for about 3 or 4 books, and then I think I just thought, oh, this is a lot of time. But actually listening back to an audiobook, I think maybe it could be time well spent.
I have to agree. I was kicking myself, and I was like, why? I used to do that as well, because they tell you to do that. And then, like, when you're a newbie, you do what you're told. And then after a while, you're like, I got this deadline. I don't fucking have time to listen to
exactly that.
And it's hard to read your own book aloud because, like, it's a tiring exercise, like just reading like 5 pages aloud. I mean, it's kind of exhausting. Your voice goes out. Like, so kudos to these narrators. And it is nice to listen to my words come alive, and it's exciting, but I'm also like, I should have done that better. Mm. Like,
yeah, I was going to say something then. Can't remember. Carry on.
I'm sure it was going to be brilliant. we'll come back to your brilliance later. Okay, so what else is going on in my life? I've been working on the final copy of Reservations of the Heart, getting ready to format that. For people who are curious about the writing conferences I attended in July, I put up 2 blog posts on my website that has photos from Pittsburgh, the GCLS. The GCLS, I have a ton of photos with different lesbic authors. So if you're curious what lesbic authors, what ones I met, you can hop over and look at that. And then I also shared about RWA in New York City, and I will drop the links to those blog posts in the show notes.
Very exciting. And TB also went and got a photo on my behalf, didn't you? When you were at the Golden Crown Literary Society thingamajiggy.
Yes, I had a request. Do you want to share who the request was?
I'm not sure I requested it, did I?
But, you said...
No, I think I might have said
to a certain author, and I got you a photo instead.
You did. It was Georgia Beers, because Georgia is the first lesbian author that I ever read. So TB went and got a picture with Georgia and sent me it, and I went, aww, because Georgia seems very lovely.
She's a very nice person. And then one fun thing that I've done since I've been doing so much not fun things, like proofing audiobooks and... doing all the tedious tasks when you're getting ready to release a new book. It's just so much. This is a lot of work behind the scenes. But I went to the zoo last week in, I think I was in Rhode Island. I'm really not good with geography. I think I was in Rhode Island. And I went to a zoo with a friend and her 2 kids in the car. This just goes to prove that I actually can be a moron sometimes. And your naming me moronic was, probably, perfect description. So one of the kids was
it a self-fulfilling prophecy, do you think?
Maybe you cursed me. But knowing me, I know I've said stuff like this before, so it's, I don't know, maybe it's just because you know me so well. But one of the kids in the car was complaining that last time when she went to the zoo, they couldn't find the sloth, and the sloth was invisible. And I turned around and I was like, what do you mean the sloth's invisible? And she was like, oh my god, I can't believe you totally bought that. So that became like the running joke the rest of the day. And I did get a photo of the invisible sloth. Mm. I can share it this week on our website. But actually, it's kind of funny because I only got the hand. So that's my week. So busyness and then idiocy. So how about you?
Okay. Well, I had the idiocy last week, obviously, with my audiobook snafu with the sending the narrator the wrong script, but luckily that's all worked out not too bad. So and she was very nice about it, so that's fine.
So she was nice about it. You didn't get an angry email?
Oh no, she's a very nice lady, so it's all fine.
Do you ever wish you can see like the first reaction when someone reads your email and then when they sit back and then like compose like a more professional one?
No, I'm good not seeing that. I know what my first reaction would have been, so. But her professional reaction was lovely because she's a lovely woman. So anyway, this week, well, our government's falling apart, so that's nice. I'm trying to ignore that. I found out just before we came on air that if you're an avid listener and you listen right to the end of the episode, last week I left in a blooper of me starting last week's episode and completely messing it up. So I just said to TB off air, did you like the blooper I left in at the end of last week's episode? And she's like, oh, I think I stopped listening before that. Well, dear listener, what a thing to admit. I edit and produce the podcast. I send it to TB, and her job before she uploads it is to listen to it. She failed. She didn't even manage to listen all the way to the end. What does this say? Well, what does this say, TB?
Well, I did listen, and then you said, well, that's a wrap. And I was like, oh, I know what the rest is. So I just thought it was going to be the music. So I stopped and downloaded the episode. And then my job is to download the episode and take care of the blurb and upload everything on the website. And so I thought it was done. I did, now that you say it, though, I did think, wow, the music is going longer this time. I didn't think to actually stop and check.
Thank you to everyone.
When I'm done with this episode, I will go back and listen to the blooper, because I do remember laughing quite a bit when you did that.
You did. So thank you to everyone who emailed in. Two or three people did. I haven't noted down your name, so but you know, you're dear to me, dear to my heart. So what else I've been doing? Well, obviously, as I said, I've been doing the audiobook of You're My Kind. I finished that, and it is a real undertaking doing it, because you do have to sit still and just follow the book and really concentrate. That took up quite a long time, for about 3 days. But it's done, and now I'm just waiting for the corrections to come back. So by this time next week, hopefully, it'll all be uploaded to ACX, and nearly, you know, 2 or 3 weeks then till it goes live. As well as that, I've been working on my new book. So I'm nearly up to about 25K, I think, on my new book. So that's good. You know, it's very rough first draft. And the other thing I'm doing is the Made in London edits, which I've got such a barrier, a resistance to doing. It's hilarious. I think I'm going for shiny new thing. Let's write the shiny new book thing. And I keep going to open the Made in London. I've read it, and I got edits back from my wife and from the editor, and my edits as well. So I've got three lots of edits to put in. I've got deadlines to meet for it. You know, I need to get it done. It is the thing, but I've got resistance. It's just what you were saying about the final bit of a book, even though it's not really the final bit, because I know that from here to go is going to take about 6 weeks. And so, like, it's just getting the finishing energy. Harnessing the finishing energy is difficult, especially when you've had a gap of about 6 months.
Yeah, I had that issue with Reservations of the Heart as well, because it's something I did the first draft before we started Cotswolds, before I actually flew to London, mm-hmm. so we could do our research trip and everything. And then when I got back, I obviously had to put pedal to the metal for the Cotswolds novel, so I put it on the back burner. And then when I got back into it, I had the same issue. It was a slog. I had to go through all the comments. I had a beta read, and then I had my editor go through it. And then a fellow author also read it, so I had to go through all that. And yeah, it was not fun. And now I'm still kind of struggling, because I'm getting it ready for publication. And I'm just like, I just want it done. Because in my mind, I guess my mind finished it off earlier in the year. And then, but it wasn't really done. So now I'm like, well, wait, it's done. No, it's not. And I have to, like, convince myself to actually, you need to get this over the finish line. And I am right there with you. I'm struggling with it.
We're in symmetry at the moment, aren't we? We're audio proofing a book, and we're struggling with a book we wrote earlier in the year, which I was, you know, pretty pleased with earlier in the year. But now I'm just like, oh, I don't bloody know. So, yeah.
And also, I think my idiocy is rubbing off on you. So sorry about that part.
Yeah. And also, I've just had a lot of family stuff this week. So, you know, family stuff will happen, and you have to deal with it, and life happens. But I'm still managing to struggle on with all the rest. But tomorrow, tomorrow I'm going to give it over, but I'm taking tomorrow off because I've got family stuff. And then, so Saturday, I'm going to have a whole day just devoted to Made in London with a view to really getting it going. In other news, I still haven't won Hamilton tickets. I'm bang up. I'm applying every single day. And I just think that they're playing a joke now. I think that they might listen to this podcast.
Do you think they have it out for you now?
Yeah, I think they've got it in for me. So
don't you think they would benefit more if you actually won Hamilton tickets, and then they could, like, be like, look, Claire Lydon, famous lesbian author, she won Hamilton tickets. Put your photo all over the website. You don't think that would help them?
And to be honest, no. I think that actually though, our listeners, if you want to help me out here, could message the Hamilton sale PR office and just say, please let Claire Lydon win the chance to buy Hamilton tickets. I'm not even asking for free tickets. I'm just asking for the chance to buy them for a tenner. You know, it's not a lot to ask in life, is it? It's all I want.
That's almost free, considering the prices are, what, like 200?
200 quid a ticket, yeah.
I know.
The only thing that's got me through the last couple of weeks, I have to say, is Iceland's toffee and honeycomb ice cream cones. That's it, TV.
You've been eating ice cream?
I have. It's been hot.
I have not, because it has not been hot here. I've gone back to, apparently, I eat ice cream when it's hot, and I've gone back on the cookie dough, which is not a good thing. I hammered through a lot of cookie dough this week.
I'm back on the ice cream. I've been eating your regulation flake cones, which are delicious, and also Iceland's toffee and honeycomb. So probably not good for my waistline. I need to get back to the gym. Anyway, comments monitor. Let's get onto them.
All right. So this week on comments, we had a couple on Twitter. So the first one from Twitter is from Reverie. And the last 2 years, Reverie has read a ton of lesbian novels, but had only left a handful of reviews. But after listening to our podcast, she's realized that reviews are important. So she's going to go back and start posting reviews. So a big thank you for that one. All authors need reviews. All right, and then we have Jana on Twitter. She enjoys the podcast and is mulling over an idea for a book. So good luck on getting a book out or even getting started. Getting started on a book is one of those things that's a big stumbling block for many, actually. Carol commented on episode 27, and she confused me a bit because apparently I did not listen very well when I was listening to this episode. She's like, I got the same email you got, TB, and then I disclosed it. And I was like, what email is she talking about? Did I mention an email? And then I went back, and it was the same email about Hamilton. I think she had the same idea. She saw, oh, they're selling Hamilton tickets. I'll get Claire tickets. And then we both saw the price, and we're like, exit, before we start even thinking of charging our credit cards. And then we have Alicia sent an email to my author account, and she shared a photo. Oh, this was funny. She shared a photo of... she was in a British candy shop in Canada, and since, I forget what episode it was, but you mentioned something about rock sticks. You went to a wedding and you lost your rock stick, and I didn't know what it was. She sent a photo of one.
Hang on. A rock stick. No, this is not what it's called, TV. A stick of rock. A stick of rock.
Sorry, stick of rock.
It's very different. A rock stick, it sounds like I might go on stage and bang a drum.
Okay, so rock stick or stick of rock?
It's a stick of rock.
Really? This is the hill you're going to die on.
Get it right. Yeah, this is the hill I'm going to die on. Yeah.
All right. Well, she sent me a photo, so I'm not as clueless, but still, I apparently don't know how to pronounce it. Melissa commented on episode 27, and she says she's a KU reader and loves it. She says she's not cheap, but if she wanted to read as many lesbian novels as she does read in a month, it would become very expensive. Mm-hmm. So, and also she may be hesitant to try an unfamiliar author, which is one of the pros we said about KU, especially if you're a new author. That does allow readers to sample your writing without much cost on their end. And then I got another email from my TV account from Fuzz, and Fuzz was talking about Fuzz is catching up on podcast episodes and was commenting on the one of how we came up with character names. And Fuzz's method is to wander through a cemetery and to look at the headstones for names. And I shared a story. When I lived in London, I lived in Earl's Court for the first couple years, and I loved it. And there's a beautiful cemetery over there, Brompton Cemetery. And I found out it was the cemetery where Beatrice Potter used to wander through. And if you are huge Beatrice Potter fans, you can wander through and you can find the gravesite of Peter Rabbit, Jeremiah Fisher, Mr. Nutkins. So she also used the same method to name her characters as well.
Ah, because I was going to say, they're fictional characters. Oh no, hang on, I see. She named them after people that had died. Got it.
Yep. She used to wander through that cemetery. She lived nearby.
Good tip.
And it's a beautiful cemetery for anybody who has not been. Actually, Lise Gold, she posted photos on Facebook a week or two ago, and she just said she was taking her dog for a walk, and I messaged her right away. I'm like, were you walking through Brompton Cemetery? Because I recognize some of those. And she was like, yes, I was. She was visiting London, so It's one of my favorite places. And then we have two final emails to our podcast email. Nellie wants to know if I get paid for the KU page reads. Like, apparently Nellie reads some books 3 or 4 times through KU. Do you know that? I think they only pay you once for a KU book.
I don't know that at all, so I wouldn't be able to know. It's a good question, but I don't know the answer.
It is a good question. I remember reading at some point you only get paid once for the full thing, but I'm not 100% certain, so it's something we probably should look into. But thanks for reading. That's fantastic.
Definitely.
And then one final comment on my end was from Kimberly. We make her laugh, and her girlfriend, who isn't interested in writing, has started listening to our podcast just for the humor. Mm. So isn't that fantastic?
Oh my God, the pressure to be funny is there. It's real. It's real, people.
And Kimberly is writing a first book and appreciates all the great info and thoughts. So I wish Kimberly the best of luck.
I do too. I've got two comments. One from Kathy, who emailed me and said that she's really glad that I'm available. Most of my books are available across platforms and not just on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited, because she first found me on Nook. The lesser spotted Nook reader, Kathy. Well done. She has downloaded the Kindle app to her phone so that she can read stuff that I only put out on Kindle for a certain amount of time. But she does prefer to support other vendors, as she doesn't want to give Amazon all her money and all the power. She's with me on that. And Kathy is also glad we're mentioning the menopause and peppering our podcast with it on a regular basis. And she loved the blooper at the end of the last episode.
I'm going to have to go back and listen. I remember you messing up, but I can't remember. Not that you mess up often. There's
it's
a reason Clint Biden does the intro, because I would mess it up every single time.
It's too late. Also, one other comment from me. Pam emailed me about The Long Weekend. Now, she says, I've often mentioned The Long Weekend as one of my early, it's my second novel. And apparently I've mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast, saying that it didn't sell very well. And in comparison to my other standalone novels, it's true. It hasn't sold as well, but it sold okay, but it hasn't sold as well. Pam wrote in to say, I love a romance as much as the next person, but who doesn't enjoy a bit of drama and age-appropriate crises every now and again? And she's a similar age to the group that went away on their long weekend, and so the story resonated. She just basically wrote in to say she loved it, even if it hasn't sold enough, which is very lovely of you, Pam. And she wants a sequel. But I just wanted to reassure Pam and anybody else out there that it's okay, really, because and it's a good thing to know as a writer that not all your books are going to land the same. Not all your books will sell the same. And you'll have some books that are absolute runaway successes and some books that just don't sell as much, even no matter what you do. Change the cover, change the blurb, remarket, all that sort of thing. The people that do read The Long Weekend absolutely love it, but just not as many people read it. And that's just how it is. I've changed the cover, I've changed the blurb, and that did change things for a while. And then it sort of went back to how it's always been. So it still sells on a regular basis, but just not as big as like London Calling or Nothing to Lose. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I have a couple books that were like that. Like My Girl of Happens series, which I love the series. I love the characters. I have a lot of fun writing it, but it just does not sell. And so when people write me, like, are you going to continue? I do plan on continuing the series, but I have to be very careful about it, because it's going to have to be one of those where I don't have to rely on that month for income. Because it's just one of those things that just, it has a dedicated following for a small amount of people. And I do want to continue the story, but it's, as a business person also, which I am a business person as well as an author, I have to be very strategic about it. So all the listeners who are waiting for the next Girl Love Happens, I am going to continue it. I just need to figure out when and how and everything, because I've tried relaunching it. It's just one of those things where the people who love it, and everyone else is just like puts their hand up and goes away.
Yeah. And similarly, I think, because The Long Weekend is my one book that's not a romance. It's a slice of life about eight friends who go away for a weekend. And so I think the thing is, people say that they want books that aren't romance, but they don't sell as well. And that's just the plain fact. And so, like we say, we're in this as a business. This is our main source of income. So we have to write romance first and foremost. Doesn't mean that I won't write a slice of life type of tome again, because I did enjoy it. And I think there's space for it as well. Enough about that. Let's get on to our main topic, because we have been blabbering on for a little while now. So our main topic today is podcasts. What ones do we love and listen to on a regular basis? So I thought we could split this into ones about writing and then ones about not about writing. So tell me the ones that you listen to about writing, TB.
Well, I'm glad I did this exercise correctly, because you just now dropped that on me. But I did actually divide up my comments. Like it says on my notes, writing ones at the very top.
Very good.
How did I know we would divide it up to writing ones and then non-writing? There was a few podcasts I started listening to very early on, and the ones I was first drawn to were the ones who also wrote, when I first started thinking of indie publishing back in 2012, 2013, there were a few authors back then who were already kind of, would you say the authority kind of for indie authors? So I started listening to, well, I started reading books by Joanna Penn, and then I'm gonna mess up the trio, the guys, Sean, Johnny, and Dave.
Johnny, Sean, and
What's
Dave.
What's their...
Yes. They were called the self-publishing something or other, but they're now called the Story Studio.
Yes, thank you. I know they've changed their name. So I was reading Joanna Penn, their books, and so when I started listening to podcasts, I obviously kind of migrated towards their podcast to begin with as well. So the first one I'm going to mention is Joanna Penn's The Creative Pen. This is a brilliant podcast. She interviews other authors under... It's not just indie authors she interviews, right? She interviews kind of a wide variety of authors.
It's not just authors either. She interviews people all around, like the creative process, about publishing, about futurist things. She's my top podcast. She's the one that I listen to every week, so I totally agree.
Yeah, she's just delightful. She's like Claire. She has that British delightful what is it? Accent?
Accent.
Is that where I'm going? I totally spaced on that.
I wonder where you were going. I thought, what do me and Joanna have in common? Maybe we've got the same taste in jam? I don't know. Maybe we do.
You could. We should ask. So I really enjoy her writing podcast, and I would recommend it for newbies, people who have been doing this for years or anywhere in between. She covers the whole spectrum. You obviously agree because you're nodding your head.
She does. She's brilliant. If I ever, I get emails on a regular basis from people saying, hey, I want to write a book. Where do I start? I always point them towards Joanna's website, thecreativepen.com. That's pen with a double N. But her podcast, The Creative Pen, is also called, is brilliant. And I've even been a guest on it, which was one of the most nerve-wracking podcast appearances I've ever done, because she has a very big audience. She's been going 10 years, and she is the authority on it. And she's very lovely, but it was very nerve-wracking. But I did an interview as a lesbian fiction author, and it was great.
I think I listened to that one. I'll have to listen to it again. Were there any bloopers involved? Did I miss the bloopers on that one?
Yeah, you probably did. Did you even listen to TV, or were you lying?
Well, I do listen to podcasts when I'm, like, doing admin work, so I can miss some things.
Yeah.
I don't listen to our podcast while I'm doing admin work. I'm actually doing the admin work of writing the blurb while I listen to our podcast. So I also turn to the self-publishing show by Mark Dawson and James Blatch. Is that right?
Blatch.
And Claire and I have had the distinct honor of having beers with those two a couple of times. But I really enjoy their show as well. I listen to that pretty much every week. I have to admit I'm behind on my summer listening because I've been traveling so much, so I've been trying to get caught up. But that's another one that I go to quite on a regular basis.
And I'm just going to chime in on this as well, because I think our writing ones are going to be fairly similar, at least some of them. So I'll just say my two cents about that one as well. It's a really good one to listen to. And not only do they have, they're a bit different to Joanna Penn in that they've got the self-publishing formula community. And so they interview people who've made it big via their courses, because they run courses on advertising and just how to publish 101. So they've got a wide variety of authors. And so they mainly interview indie authors. They do interview traditionally published as well. But they ran some brilliant interviews with indie authors who've made it big in BookBub ads, Facebook ads, Amazon ads, and something else I can't remember now. But go back and have a look for those, because those four interviews I found really, really educational, and I learned a lot from them. And I applied a couple of the points that they said. So they're really good, from people who are doing it now.
Yeah, and they kind of get into the nitty gritty parts of the business, which I enjoy, because it's not all about just the craft when you are an indie author. You do have to know the actual... what some people might consider the boring aspects, but the more I get into it, I actually rather enjoy all aspects of the writing life. And the next two that I'm going to mention that I might just mention and hand over to you, because you are the one who introduced me to these podcasts. So you might have a lot more to say about them. The first one is How Do You Write by Rachel Herron. And the second one is another Rachel Herron that she does with Jay Thorne, The Writer's Well. And I remember... you were listening to The Writer's Well when you met me at a pub once, and you were telling me about it. And I think I downloaded it right then and there.
Yeah, again, I've been lucky enough to be a guest on Rachel Herron's How Do You Write podcast. And that's just interesting if you want to listen to, she has a variety of spectrum of authors on, traditionally and indie published, across all genres. And she just interviews them on how they write. They're short, sharp podcasts, and she's a very good guest, very good host. The write as well, she does with Jay Thorne. And that is actually what inspired me to do this podcast, to ask you to do this podcast. So because they're two writers just chewing the fat every week, and then they focus on one topic. So that was the inspiration for this podcast. So thanks, Jay and Rachel. But they do a good show every week, and I love their honesty and their humour, and I like their chemistry, as well as all their advice and stuff on writing, because they've both been writing longer than us two. I think like they've both been writing at least 10 years. So they've got a lot of good information and a lot of knowledge, and the stuff that they say, generally listen to it.
Yeah, I really like their interaction, and they're extremely genuine, which I really appreciate, because, you know, sometimes people they kind of fluff their own feathers and everything, but these two are just genuine, and then they respect each other a lot, and it comes through with their dialogue, and I just enjoy their banter. They're kind of funny.
They are funny, and we respect each other, don't we, TB?
Do we? Do we?
Even though you are moronic. Anyway, no, there was one episode of The Write as well where they just have to make, the question was, how's your poo? And literally that was the question.
What?
So how's your digestive health? But the question and the way they phrase it was, how's your poo? And they spent the entire episode just laughing at the word poo. It was just, I was walking up to the shop and I was just in hysterics because they were in hysterics, and they didn't edit all the laughter out. And it was just like 10-second wall of laughter as they were just saying the word poo a lot. So let's never have that as a question.
I didn't hear that one, but now I'm going to have to go find the poo.
Yeah, how's your poo?
Episode.
So there we go. That's four writing ones. Is that all your writing ones done?
I have one last one I wanted to mention. It's one I've recently started listening to. I've only listened to one or two episodes, but it's called The Misfits Guide in Writing Indie Romance. So I have it. I'm on the. I find their chemistry interesting, but I haven't listened to them too much. And I was wondering if you had stumbled upon them at all.
I have stumbled upon it, but I haven't listened to it, I have to say. So, who is it? Is it Adrian somebody?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I did not write down their names.
Okay.
Because no. details. But it's one of those, if there are listeners out there who do listen to it, let me know if it's one I should continue or not.
Yeah. I have heard of it, but I wouldn't be able to say more on it. So I've got two other, so the Story Studio is one you mentioned, and I still listen to that. So that's Johnny, Sean and Dave. They used to have the self-publishing podcast, I think it was called, and then they pivoted. They did that, I think, last year, and they turned it into the Story Studio. With them, I think it's one of those things where I think that they've got a lot of good advice, and I think I've learned probably the most from their podcast, but you do have to get on board with their humour. They're very kind of giggly, a bit boisy at times, but they're all very lovely. So you kind of, at first they annoyed me a little bit, and now I do listen to them, because I don't listen to every single one, but I probably listen to at least 50% of them. So I pick and choose. And that's the thing with these podcasts, you can pick and choose the ones you want. As long as it's not our podcast, you've got to listen to every one of those.
Yes, and comment, please.
Yeah, and comment. And the other one, the other couple I listen to are the Selmore Book Show, which is just exactly what it says on the tin. All of these shows are weekly. The Selmore Book Show is with Brian Cohen and Jim Cuchrell. And Jim Cuchrell is a bit of a grumpy sod, and he makes me laugh. That is basically, it's just a roundup of all the news. So you just keep on top of everything that's happening in the indie and publishing world. So that's always good to download and listen to. Top tip, they do speak quite slowly. So I listen to that one on 1.5 speed. So you can get through a 45-minute show in like 25 minutes and without compromising any of your listenability. Is that a word?
We're going to... It's a Claire Lydon phrase now.
Yeah, listenability.
We should get like T-shirts.
Yeah.
bumper stickers and everything.
You see, like, I've tried to listen to some other podcasts on that speed, and they just sound ridiculous. I quite often do 1.1 and 1.2 speed, but 1.5 on the Samuel Book Show, it doesn't impact it. That's how slowly they speak. And the other one that I love is the 21st Century Creative. And that is, I haven't actually listened to any of the third or fourth season. He's just dropped it, so I must start listening to it again. But that, his name has completely just fled my head. So let me just, Mark McGuinness, that's his name. And he is a life coach and psychotherapist to creatives. And he does a brilliant podcast, The 21st Century Creative. And it's not just interviewing writers, it's interviewing anybody who's creative. And he really goes in depth on their life and what they do and why they do it and how they do it. And it's really interesting to hear other creatives from other spheres of creativity and how you can take what they're doing and apply it to your own world.
I'll have to start listening to that one. You've been holding back. You've never mentioned this one to me, and now I'm kind of, well, quite frankly, pissed.
Oh, and one more, very quickly, the Self-Publishing Authors podcast, and that is, used to be called the Spa Girls podcast. I think they might have rebranded. Spa Girls or Self-Publishing Authors. They're four women from Kiwiland, and they really make me laugh. They all write romance. They're all at different stages of their careers. So, like, I think two of them are full-time, two of them are part-time. Yeah, one of them's got, like, 50 books out, one of them's got, like, two out and really struggles to write. So and they've got really good camaraderie. So, and it's also nice to have some female-fronted shows, which Joanna Penn and Rachel Herron do, but the Self-Publishing, the Spa Girls, is four women, so I like to listen to them.
And I find it interesting that they have such a spectrum of, you have the one who's published 50, and then you have one who's published two. Do they bounce the ideas off each other? Do they feed into their newness and kind of the old hat kind of mentality?
Yeah, so they just bring different levels of experience and to every problem. So, like, when they're talking about planning a book, the woman who's written 50 books is going to plan it very differently to the woman who's written two. Yeah, there's one of them that they always take the piss out of her because she just constantly does courses and then just doesn't write anything, but she loves doing courses. So
I've met many a writers who have told me, oh, I want to write, and this is what I've done to prep for it. And they've listed all these books they've read and all these podcasts, and I'm like, have you tried sitting down at the laptop yet? And they're like, what? No, I'm not ready for that. I have to prep for it. I'm like, get back to me in 10 years. We'll talk again.
Okay.
That's the danger, though, with all these podcasts, though, isn't it? You can really just kind of go down a rabbit hole.
You can definitely. And you do have to think, if you've only got an hour a day, it's better to write for that hour than to listen to a podcast. But for me, the time I listen to podcasts is when I walk, which I normally do every day, or when I'm exercising. If I'm going for a run, I'll put a podcast on. I don't generally do it when I'm, occasionally when I'm cooking, I will, but I like to concentrate on what they're saying. And I find that, like, if I have the radio on while I'm doing admin or something, that's fine, because I'm not, there's nothing I absolutely want to listen to, because I haven't, it's just like music and background chat. Whereas if I'm listening to a podcast, I like to concentrate, so I don't tend to have it on when I'm working or anything like that.
Yeah, it's the admin work I'm talking about is pretty much the mindless copy and paste work I have to do sometimes for the website.
Right.
So yeah, there's not a lot of thinking going involved in that, so mm-hmm. I can. But I will stop, and I will, I usually have a notepad next to me and a pen, and I will stop and I take notes, and I have little folders next to my desk, which you can't see, that I file away notes according to the folder for the different podcasts I've listened to, and then I'll go through them every once in a while to refresh my memory. But I do agree with you. If you only have 1 hour per day, write.
Yeah, I mean, if you got 1 hour per day, maybe write five of those days and then listen to podcasts the other two. It's all about balance.
I used to listen on my walks, but lately, I used to listen to podcasts or I used to listen to audiobooks, but this summer, for some reason, I have stopped listening. I'm enjoying actually having that time to myself and not having anything in my ears, and I just kind of observe, and I'm starting a new book tomorrow. I'm going to start writing a new book tomorrow. So I've been letting everything just kind of roll around in my head. So I've been wasting some hours on one hand, but I haven't been wasting them on the other hand, because Sometimes I just need an empty headspace to get new projects going.
Yeah, and there's a value in that as well. Okay, so let's get on to non-writer podcasts. So, TB, hit me with your non-writery podcasts.
Well, the first one actually isn't a non-writery podcast. It's by a fellow lesbian author, but she... It's the Harper Bliss and her missus, and they just kind of chat back and forth to each other. They do update what's going on in Harper's writing life, but it's more just a fun one that I like to listen to because they're quite snarky to each other, and I enjoy their banter. So, and let's be honest, we have to give a shout out to Harper Bliss. She is one of our writing partners.
She is, and we've been in a car with them and sat at dinner with them and been for drinks, and we can confirm they do top bants and good snark.
Yes, they're quite entertaining. So if you haven't listened to their podcast, I do recommend it. And then I listened to this other lesbian podcast. It's called The Lesbian Book Club on the Lesbian Lounge. Miss Leiden, have you ever heard of this podcast?
Never heard of it. Don't bother.
I've been a guest on this one.
That was my absolute,
you don't know.
Absolute favorite episode.
For those who don't know, Claire Leiden hosts The Lesbian Book Club and is quite entertaining. So I recommend that one highly. What about you? What else do you listen to?
That's very sweet of you. I didn't expect you to shout out my podcast. I've got one called Throwing Shade. This was my absolute top favorite podcast for about 2 or 3 years.
What was the title again?
Oh, sorry. The title is Throwing Shade.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you said. So it's a snark.
Yes. Throwing Shade, and it's hosted by Erin Gibson and Brian Safi, and they are both stand-up comedians. Brian is a bit of an actor, and he is gay, and she describes herself as a feminasty. She's a bang-up feminist and very funny with it. I really recommend it because it basically shines a light on LGBT. That's the lesbian and gay personal trainer movement. The LGBT, so it shines a light on LGBT issues and women's issues and pop culture. So all those three things are great. So, and it's an American-based podcast, so most of the stuff is based in America, but they do have quite a big worldview as well. So it's really, really great to listen to. It's funny, it's relevant, it's very angry about the politics. So it's a political show as well. If you like top bants between the presenters, like us do, and on Throwing Shade and Harper Bliss and the Misses, you should also give Fortunately from the BBC a try. This is Jane Garvey and Fee Glover, both of whom fantastic Radio 4 presenters, or Radio 4, Radio 5 presenters in their own right, and they have just cornered the market in just talking about nothing and making it sound absolutely brilliantly entertaining. But yeah, they have guests on every week and they just chat about being women of a certain age. Menopausal, let's say that.
Yeah, I think both you and Harper and Caroline recommended this last summer when we were all, where were we? Were we in Bristol for Elcon? Is that where we were?
It was, yeah, either Elcon or on the Cotswolds, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys mentioned it, and I was like, what? Because you guys were just laughing. You were tossing gems back and forth, and I'm like, what are they talking about? And I went home, and I started listening to the episodes, and I think one day I listened to, like, 7 of them. They're just funny.
They are funny. I want to be, when I grow up, I want to be as funny as them. Do you think we can make it happen?
I think so. I mean, I think, yeah. I think we have a little bit of a sense of humor. Maybe a little bit.
And then two others very quickly. One is the Tim Ferriss Show, which is very well known. I think it's one of the top 5 podcasts in the world or something, but for a reason. He's a brilliant host. He has brilliant guests. I found out about so many different people from all different walks of life, and his interviews are in-depth and entertaining. So if you haven't heard of that one yet, give it a go. You were nodding. Are you a Tim Ferriss podcast fan? Yes.
Yeah, I don't listen every week, but I do check out who it is, and it's one of those things with podcasts, they're there. So like if you can't listen that week, you can catch up on certain times.
Exactly.
And so yeah, I do. I have listened to quite a few episodes.
And he is not, again, he's not a quick listen. His episodes are like an hour and a half, 2 hours, so have some time, or play him on 1.5 and he'll sound like a chipmunk. Final one is a very new one. I've only listened to two episodes, but I can already know that I'm going to listen to a lot more. And it's called Griefcast. It's with Cariad Lloyd. And again, she was a guest, unfortunately, and that's how I found out about it. Now, she is a presenter and a comedian, I think. Her dad died when she was 15 and she wants to explore grief. And so what she does is she interviews stand-up comedians about grief. So, and they talk about somebody in their life that's died and how it affected them. And it's touching, it's funny, it's human, it's relatable. And it brings grief and death into the spotlight, which I think is something we need to do more and more and more, because grief and death are part of life.
Yes, I agree with that. I do remember one time waiting for you in the pub and you came in and you had your earbuds in and you put your hand on my shoulder and you said, "Don't die." And I was like, "That's pretty deep. Hello to you." And you were listening to another podcast about death. And, you said it was very emotional. And I was just like, wow, that's quite the greeting. Do you do that now whenever you go to a pub and meet a friend? Don't die.
Yeah, it's my standard greeting. I don't know what one it was then, but I wouldn't say fascinated with death. That sounds very macabre, but I think I'm fascinated with people's reactions to it. And, you know, and I just think it's such a normal everyday thing, but people don't know how to deal with it. So I think it's really interesting to talk about it. And especially with stand-up comedians, because then there's a lot of humor that comes into it as well.
Is this one of the reasons we're friends? Because I like to wander through cemeteries and you like to listen to a podcast about death?
Maybe it is. All right, then. Well, I think we've yabbered. I'm making up so many words this week. Yabbered and yabba-dabba-dood on enough. So thank you very much for being here. Thanks for listening. Join us next week when we are going to be talking about how ambitious we are. Or how ambitious are you? That's the question. All right. See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much and see you next time.